are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, refined entertainment for a sophisticated audience. Who sometimes enjoy a good fart joke?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, it's July 1st. Oh my God. Do you know where your car keys are? Do you know where your kids are? Do you know anything? July 1st. What the hell's up with that, huh? Wow. Slow it down. Well, nonetheless, it's good to be with you. Here's how we do this. You shut up, and I will talk for a short period of time. I will entertain you. I will inform you. I will keep you up to date about what date this is. It's July 1st. Okay, took care of that part. So, that's the deal. What do you say? You into it? Okay, let's do it. I always start the show by asking how you are. Again, I am the only talk show host in the world that actually cares enough to ask you individually, you sitting there, how you're doing today. Because I actually care, or at least I make believe that I do. I know you don't care about me. I don't think you go through the whole day and just stop all of a sudden and say, I wonder what Ron is doing right now. I don't think you do that. Let's be honest. Let's start honestly. I am so pissed that the President of the United States, this Trump guy, ever heard of him? He refuses to wear a mask. He says it's his choice not to wear it. You freaking asshole. You're the president. You're supposed to be setting an example. As things get really, really bad all of a sudden, you just, oh my God. Oh my God. If I could construct an asshole, I don't think I'd have enough parts, but this guy makes it feasible. Too political? Too soon? What's your problem? I don't care if you're a Republican, a Democrat, a donut. I don't care. I mean, this has nothing to do with politics. This has to do with, like, leadership and I, matey. Wow, how'd I turn into a pirate all of a sudden? I. I think we're all walking the plank. Well, we're all in the same boat, and I think it's a pirate ship. I don't know what the hell's going on. July 1st, I can't get over that. Is this a day, like, when you fool people? Oh, that's okay. That's April 1st. Okay, fine. I'm losing a grip. I'm telling you, I'm losing the grip. I need to take a bath. I haven't taken a bath in a long time. I shower. I shower frequently, every 6 years. I shower, but with this COVID 27 here, whatever. What the hell? Why bother? You know. As I said on yesterday's show, these women are walking around saying, hey, I'm really happy about this because I can wear my yoga pants all day. And the response that I have is, okay, then have no sex because no one's finding that very attractive. Yoga pants? Yeah, the most important thing is that you're comfortable. That's the most important thing. Sorry, didn't want to stop that from happening for your comfortable lifestyle. Anyway, hi, how you doing? Welcome to the program. I have one of the most interesting interviews I have ever done on this show on today's program. You are going to walk away from this show when it's finished. It won't take long, I guarantee. You're going to say, man, Ron, that was an incredible program and an incredible guest. I have a guest who's written a book with National Geographic Kids, but don't let that throw you. It's called Ick, I-C-K, with an exclamation point. It's about animals, especially the little tiny ones, that do the most disgusting things you can ever think of. It's fascinating. We're going to speak to her on the second portion of this program. My God, it's about lizards that squirt blood from their eyes in order to ward off enemies. That's not so bad. We know that monkeys fling poop at people and at other animals. Flinging poop? That's what a child does. I mean, that's not a big deal. I've had poop flung on me and pee shot at me from children many times before, and they're not even my kids. This happens in malls. Turn around. They dump a turd. They turn around and they eat it. They lick up and regurgitate vomit, and then they regurgitate again. They eat it again. It's like a constant cycle. There are things living in your eyebrows and your eyelashes. The cockroaches eating fingernails. I mean, it's a disgusting, horrible. And you're going to say, Ron, that's the most disgusting show you've ever done. And they're not even talking about that subject matter. It's just a disgusting thing. So she joins us today, and we'll find out all about the world of disgusting things that the animal kingdom does. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, what are the disgusting things that humans do? Everything. You know, a lot of the things that you consider to be, that some people consider to be sexually stimulating, are kind of disgusting when you really think about it. To put yourself on another planet, and for some of you, I wish you would, put yourself on another planet like you know nothing about Earth, nothing about this civilization whatsoever. You get on a flying saucer ship, on a shuttle, through a wormhole, and you end up on this planet, and you observe the human race, these walking around adults, for the first time. I think your response would be, these people are disgusting. The habits they have, the things they do, what they consider to be acceptable. This is a disgusting civilization. Let's get the hell off of this planet. Don't go there again. This planet, ugh, eek, ick. I think that would be the response. We do disgusting things. Oh, my God. Oh, my. We actually take our tongues and we stick it down other people's throats. Oh, my. Why? Why would you do that? It's erotic? It is? I mean, we're sticking our faces in body parts that smell like a 30-year-old fish distilleries. I mean, seriously, what the hell are we doing? We consider this to be fantastic. Some of the fetishes that we have, man. I'm sorry. Some of the fetishes that you have are just unbelievable. I mean, you hear about these things and you think, what? People actually find that erotic? Are you serious? Yeah, it's true. It's true. So let's grow up, shall we? Yeah, please. I'm really close to practicing safe sex. In the sense that I'm going to start wearing a mask. I don't know if people do this while they're having sex wearing a mask. I think it's respectful, and I think it's the right thing to do under the circumstances. And I'm not kidding. Well, maybe I'm exaggerating, but I'm not kidding. If I could say one thing to all of you at once, and I guess I can, and I'm serious about this, Wear a freaking mask when you're out in public. Do it, will you please? If you can't be further away than like 10 feet from somebody else, put your freaking mask on for a period of time until we resolve this social experiment problem. Just wear the freaking mask. I mean, they make lightweight things. You don't have to wear a hospital gown or a Johnny or anything. Just put a freaking mask on if you're within like 10 feet of somebody else. Is that so much to ask? No, it's not. But yet people refuse to do it, including the President of the United States. Come on, man. If we did that, we'd have this thing under control until somebody comes up with a genius vaccine for this thing, or some type of treatment, and then you're good, okay? Then you don't need the mask. But in the meantime, not only for your safety, because you know they say, you know, if you have an underlying medical problem, then you're at risk. Everybody's got an underlying. You don't even know that you have an underlying because you're fat obese. I said this yesterday, and I mean it. But even that, everybody has parents, and everybody has grandparents. Some are alive, some aren't. It doesn't matter. You wear the mask out of respect for other people so they don't catch things that you may not know that you have. These young adults walking around saying, well, I have a great immune system. I'm fine. You don't get it, you schmuck. You don't get it. You're doing it for other people, too, as well as yourself. It's a win, 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 win. But I find it uncomfortable. Then put a mask on and also wear your yoga pants. Then some of you is comfortable. Jesus, come on, cut it out. Why are we even talking about this? Just do it. I'm sorry, I got a little upset for a second. It's just, this is not fun and games. I mean, it's a simple thing. Just do it. Okay. My guest is going to join us very, very soon. I need to chill, man. I need to chill. And I'm not talking about having like an ice cream cone or something. We just need to chill. We really do. So as a response, I think it's really important every once in a while for me to intervene. This is an intervention. I think we need the horoscope thing. I really do. Because when you have the horoscope thing going on, things are better. So let's do that. And when we come back, my guest will join us.
Greetings, fellow planet travelers. Kip Starchild here with your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape. Let's see what the stars have in mind for you. Aquarius, take a chance on doing something that might leave a mark or a scar. Pisces, your lucky number is 781.57. But don't be off by so much as a decimal, or it means certain death. Aries, dance like no one is watching, because in your case, no one is. You're all alone in this world. Embrace that. Taurus, I have three words for you. Lubricants, lubricants, lubricants. Gemini, get ready for a big surprise courtesy of a shellfish allergy you didn't know you had. Cancer, now is a great time to buy that samurai sword you've been thinking about. The ninjas are closing in. Leo. Hi, Leo. How are you? Virgo. Order the creme brulee, then leave without paying. This will lead to true love and a criminal record. Libra. Lucky you. The stars are aligning. Good fortune and prosperity are coming your way and happiness Oh, wait, sorry, I skipped ahead. That's for Scorpio. Libra, make peace with your gods, for your time of reckoning is at hand. Sagittarius, remember that life is a marathon, not a sprint. But in your case, it might not hurt to step up the pace a little. The clock is running. And Capricorn, leave it alone. Stop picking at it, or it won't heal. Try some coconut oil. And that's your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape. I'm Kip Starchild. Until next time, peace.
Melissa Stewart joins us now. She's an award-winning author. She's written thousands of books, it seems like. How many books, Melissa?
195.
Oh my God. Unbelievable.
I have to know the exact number because kids ask me all the time.
My goodness. I don't know how that's physically possible, but unless you're 105 years old or something, but you're not.
Well, I've been working at it for about 30 years, so it adds up.
I guess so. Well, this book is the most fascinating, and I'll tell you, I do a lot of interviews, and when this book came for my review before we sat down and talked, I usually thumb through the books. I read this cover. I dropped what I was doing, and I just did not put it down. It is so fascinating, and I got to tell you, I'm not a kid. I'm an adult. And it wouldn't come off my fingers. I just read this thing. Congratulations, as far as I'm concerned, on that.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun to write.
Yeah. The book is called Ick. I mean, that's pretty much where it begins and ends. Ick, delightfully disgusting animal dinners, dwellings, and defenses. And I'm telling you, it's an education because. We go through life and we have the dogs and the cats and the animals in the zoo and such, but you just don't think of what's actually going on in this small, icky world. What drove you to write this?
Well, I've always been intrigued by cool animal facts. And in fact, I have file folders in my office where I just collect information.
Mm-hmm.
And over a certain period of time, I realized, you know, I have a lot of stuff about real animals that are cool but also pretty disgusting that use things like pee and poop and vomit to survive in the world, and that I bet kids would love a book about that.
Wow. See, you just described my family. it's fascinating, and this is the real animal world. I mean, it's animals are not as sophisticated pee and poop wise, etc. I learned about animals that actually pee and poop and then eat it again, and it seems like the perfect life cycle. It's amazing how, and I didn't know this stuff about animals that are living on my face. Come on now. And it's interesting because kids are immediately attracted to this kind of stuff, and so are adults. We don't admit it, but when something's icky, we go, ew, but I want to know more about it.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So give me some interesting facts that people will understand what I'm talking about here, some things that we kind of didn't know that are absolutely icky.
Well, the one little critter that you were just mentioning was the eyelash mite, which lives on faces of almost everyone. And they slurp up oils that ooze out of your skin, and they also will eat tiny flakes of dead skin. That's one of my favorites. Another one is butterflies. They seem sweet and innocent, and most of them feed on flower nectar, but some eat mud, blood, tears, or sweat, and a few even sip on juices from animal dung or rotting carcasses, which is hard to believe.
Oh, my God. You know, the closest I've come to that is when my dog will poop outside, sometimes my dog will turn around and start smelling and licking it, and I thought that's about as disgusting as it gets. But again, it's not as disgusting as it gets. That's fairly common, I guess, in the animal world.
It is fairly common. And in fact, the baby pandas, their very first solid food is their mother's poop. And they need the bacteria that's in the poop before they're able to digest bamboo, which is the main food that they eat throughout their whole lives.
Wow. Some animals take their poop and dung and they use it for defense, and they spit it or fling it or that kind of thing, I guess.
They do. There's the silver spotted skipper caterpillar that it flings. Its poop is called frass, FRASS. It flings its frass up to 5 feet. And the reason that it does that is just basically it's very smelly, and they want to get it as far away as they can from their body so that predators won't detect them.
Wow.
And then there's also Siberian chipmunks that roll in snake pee So they will smell like the snakes, and they can fool other predators like hawks and eagles.
Wow. And this is all just naturally the way that these animals have evolved. I mean, they don't sit there and go, let's see, how can I get my enemies to stay away? I'll fling some poop. I mean, they don't, it is just that. It's just inherent in the species.
It is. And, you know, they use the resources that they have at their disposal.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. What are some other yucky habits that will turn people's stomachs?
Another one of my favorites is the red-billed oxpecker, which is a bird that you'll often see on the backs of large African animals like rhinoceroses or wildebeest. And what they do is they pick the ticks off these larger animals, but they're not actually interested in eating the ticks. Mm-hmm. They're interested in the blood inside. And if they look over the back of the animal that they're on and they can't find any ticks, they'll actually they'll crawl into the animal's ear, and they'll nibble on earwax, and they'll also dine on spit or snot or even dandruff.
There's a lot of dining on vomit, I understand.
There are a lot of animals, a lot of adult animals that regurgitate. They will go out and hunt, and then they will come back to their den or their nest, and they will regurgitate whatever they have eaten for their babies, because the babies can't go out into the world yet. They're either not old enough, they're not developed enough, or it could be that it's just too dangerous for the little ones to go out into the world.
Wow. Every once in a while, especially in the summer, there'll be a couple of house flies, and maybe they'll land on my arm or something, and I get all freaky about it. Even house flies, I guess, have some strange habits.
They do. You know, if you see something landing, a house fly landing on something, you might think twice about eating it, because what they do is they cannot eat any solid food. They can only eat liquids. So they will land on something solid, and they will vomit digestive juices onto it, and then that will break down the solid into a liquid, and then they can slurp it up. But if they get disturbed and they fly away, that vomit will still be layered on top of whatever picnic food you might have out.
That's the end of the potato salad. Oh, my God. Yeah. Good to know, because I thought you just shoo them away and it's fine, but it's not necessarily. Of course, the food will spoil in warm weather anyway, so that's also another reason. But this is kind of even worse. How did you get this information? Did you talk to the animals? I mean, where does this information lie?
So I've actually been collecting information for this book for about 20 years, because you can't just look up gross animal and get a list of, you know, there are 45 animals that are in this book. So I just have been reading, as I'm reading other things, as I'm writing, I'm always doing research, and I have folders I have a big file cabinet in my office, and I just put, anytime I find something about cannibal animals, I'll put it into one folder. If I find something about animals that use vomit in interesting ways, it will go into a different folder. And then I can collect information from these different folders around a common theme or idea and create a book.
Crazy stuff. I will say that the book not only is fascinating fact-wise, but the photography is incredible. It brings me right into the mandibles and just brings me right into it, smack in my face. So that also just gives it another dimension.
Yeah. You know, National Geographic, they have one of the best photo archives in the world.
Yeah.
But in addition to that, they also have a crack team of photo researchers that can go out and find just about any creature or anything you could ever want in a book. They know they have the contacts, and they know how to track down those images. So there are some real amazing photos that are in this book.
Yeah, no kidding. Tell me about the connection between cockroaches and fingernails.
Yeah, so cockroaches will eat pretty much anything that you can think of. And one of the things that they don't mind eating at all is fingernail clippings that are might be lying on the bathroom floor that didn't quite make it into the wastebasket. And back in, you know, the 1600s, 1700s, there were often cockroach infested ships that were sailing across the Atlantic, and sailors would wear gloves on their hands at night so that the cockroaches wouldn't come and snack on their fingernails while they were sleeping.
Yeah, how would the sailors know that? Did they actually see the cockroaches doing this? Because I don't think they went online and figured this out. I mean,
they did. Yeah, sometimes they would, you know, they would feel a little something, and they would wake up in the middle of the night, and they would realize what the cockroaches were doing, and they're like, "Oh, I don't want that happening." And so they came up with the idea of wearing gloves.
Wow. It's a great book, and it's even more fascinating when kids and parents get together and read it, because it's you can't not make comments and want to talk to somebody about it as you're learning it, and if someone can relate to that with you, that's just even more fun. This is fascinating.
Yeah, it's a great book for kids to read together, or as you said, to read with a parent or another adult.
Absolutely. Probably not in the middle of the night just before you're going to go to bed with your eyelashes, though. Probably not a great thing to do. That actually freaked me out, to be honest with you. I went to bed that night after reading the book, and it was in my mind. There's things crawling on me. But of course, you know, pillow bed sheets, I don't even think about those things, but that's a whole nother book, I suppose. Which begs the question, where do you go from here after writing a book like that?
So the next book that I have coming out is actually a complete departure. It's about a group of 14 different species of adorable monkeys that live in a rainforest in Peru. And that's going to be a rhyming nonfiction picture book that will be coming out next spring.
Very cool. Wow. Sounds like you had have a lot of fun with what you do, and thanks for passing it on to us. The book is called...
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, it's called Ick, I-C-K... ! Delightfully Disgusting Animal Dinners, Dwellings, and Defenses. It's available everywhere, I would assume?
It is, yeah. You can get it online booksellers, in-person booksellers, if they're open where you live right now.
Fantastic. Yep. And of course, it's with National Geographic Kids that she's done this, and that series has just been incredible. We've done a lot of interviews with the National Geographic Kids series, and they're all amazing, both photographically and by content. And I think it's the premier reading material of the world, personally, for all ages. Okay, is there a website where we can follow your stuff?
Yes, if you just Google Melissa Stewart author, my website will pop right up, and so Perfect. You can read more about this book or about some of the other books that I've written.
Wonderful. Pleasure speaking to you. Hope next time book comes out, we speak again. Congratulations. Ick, Delightfully Disgusting Animal Dinners, Dwellings, and Defenses. She's Melissa Stewart. Have yourself a great day, and thank you. Well, there you have it for today. Once again, you've just been great. I didn't hear you say anything through this entire program, so you've been keeping your end of the bargain. If there's anything I hate, it's a chatty audience. Oh, my God. Chatty people. Oh, my God. They used to have a doll when I was growing up, I think. I think I was growing up, called Chatty Cathy. It had a little string in the back, and when you pulled the string, this is before technology they even had the word technology. You would pull the string, and their little recording box inside the little doll would say these freaking annoying things that real children actually say. They mirrored the stupid things that real children say, and they put it inside a doll. Hello, why are you creating an anatomically correct, annoying thing? It's bad enough. Ron, you're wrong. Children say adorably cute, funny things. Maybe for 2 minutes. After that, it's not funny anymore. It's not cute. It's not adorable. Can you go play somewhere else? How about that? Let me explain something about child. As you probably know, and if you've listened to this show, I view children as being nothing but adults in training. That's all they are. You spend 90% of your life as an adult and the rest as a child, not knowing anything because you have no experience in anything. You can't even talk or walk sometimes. And until you become, and then you're just training to be an adult, and then you have your life. So why are we focusing so much on children? Oh my God. Yeah, I know it's the building blocks. It's the foundation. I get it. But at the same time, such a small part of your life. Holy crap. Anyway, hi. I think children need to be independent. I think you should change their diaper, feed them, keep a roof over their heads, make sure they're comfortable, safe, and healthy. And other than that, go play by yourself in your room. Get out of my hair, man. I'm doing enough for you. So get off of me. Go do something. Go be a fruitful child, huh? Just because you're not an adult doesn't mean you can't go play with blocks or something. See this little doll? Pull the string on the back and listen to how annoying you sound sometimes. Whew, Ron, geez, seriously? Are you grumpy or what? No, I'm just trying to entertain you. I'm just trying to be prolific and argumentative because that's the kind of thing people listen to. I'm being theatrical, like I'm on a stage. That's all I'm doing. Have yourselves a wonderful day. Happy July 1st to you. I don't know really what that means. And have, I wish you peace is what I'm trying to say. Now go forth and multiply. Actually, don't do that. Oh, no, don't do that. Wear a mask, damn it. Wear a mask.